for everyone's benefit, why don't you introduce yourselves and tell
Madam
us a little
Chair,
bit about
committee
your
members. I'm Michael Parker with C.B. Richard Ellis. I am the Senior Vice President of Global Corporate Services for Wisconsin. On my right is Rolf Kamen, Managing Director from our Public Institutions Group, and our on the first row back here is Max Rzanski, who is the Managing Partner of C.B. Richard Ellis, Wisconsin. You may not recognize, although I would hope you would, the name C.B. Richard Ellis, but the predecessor company, Polachek, you may recognize. We've been around Milwaukee County for 56 years. For 10 years, we were a partner company of C.B. Richard Ellis, and over the last 4 years, we have been one of the divisions within C.B. Richard Ellis. We're going to talk just for 1 minute about what C.B. Richard Ellis is, and then we'll go into 10 strategic issues. You've heard a lot of those issues that Mr. Takarian was talking about. We're going to talk about those in a little bit more strategic sense and what the industry is doing, how we're helping the industry, and give you some concrete examples of other public sector entities and how they're dealing with some of those. Many of them relate exactly to what was discussed for the last hour. C.B. Richard Ellis is the largest global real estate consulting company in the world. We're a New York Stock Exchange company. We have reach all around the world in 58 countries. We have resources, very deep resources. I would call your attention to under property and facilities management. You're talking about the size of the facilities management in Milwaukee County. We have a billion square feet plus under management, and we have continually are rated extremely high by our peer groups and by those in the industry. What we'd like to talk about are 10 issues that we see in the industry today. Rolf? Sure.
Thanks, Mike. Well, as you know, it's tough out there. You face a lot of challenges. I'm with the Public Institutions Group. I work with federal, state, and local clients. I am currently doing a statewide master plan with the state of Michigan. We're about to turn in our report on Wednesday. I have done work for Maricopa County in Phoenix, Arizona. I've done a master plan for the downtown properties of Orange County, Florida. I've done statewide master plans for New Jersey. I've worked on them for Florida. I've worked on them in North Carolina, Virginia. And so I'm familiar with master plans. I'm familiar with your problems, and we'd like to address some of those today. You have financial realities. Everybody's out of money, and that's at all levels of government. You have new mandates about sustainability and technology. You have to identify where your surplus assets are, where your surplus resources. You need to generate income from some of those resources. You need to think outside of the box. You have performance imperatives. You have to make and find opportunities to save money, to do more with less. And so that's what we're really all about when we look at some of those challenges and we say, you know, there are really some opportunities among those challenges. One is your real estate professionals and the folks in your organizations really do know where the bodies are buried. So it's about creating a partnership with those folks and third-party consultants to identify where the opportunities are, identify what you can get done. Working with technology, there are many new technologies that assist real estate organizations in the handling and management and performance of their properties. It's looking at the flexibility and creating more flexibility in the occupancies that you have. You heard today you have some properties that have some space, and at the same time you can't quite get at it, and you're really not alone. There are many organizations that have 10% of their property that's vacant, but if it's one cube spread among every 10 cubes in 50 buildings, it may be hard to organize those. So you have to have a strategy. You have to have a plan. We talked about that 5 minutes ago. And then what's the expense? You have to be able to track your expenses. You have to identify what the opportunities and resources are as you're looking all across your portfolio, because many of those opportunities aren't so obvious. It may come with public-private partnerships. It may come partnering with other public institutions that are in similar straits as yourself. It may be just looking at what you have a little bit differently. So we'll talk about the first trend. I think it was mentioned 5 minutes ago, you need to centralize. This is a graph from Cornet, which is a professional real estate organization of public and private sector facilities and real estate folks. It's really an international organization, and it's no surprise, and centralization is becoming more and more the trend. And the reason it's becoming more and more the trend is because it's the only way that you can drive savings. It's the only way you can organize yourself more efficiently around what is a very expensive line item in your budget. And it impacts everything you do. It impacts your IT platform. It impacts your staff, how they work within those facilities. And so when you talk about centralization, you're really looking at a sea change in terms of the way you work and the way you look at how real estate can enhance your services and at the same time look at it in a more cost-effective manner. Here's an example. Mike said we'd give you examples. This is talking about centralization. This is kind of outside-the-box centralization. We do strategic sourcing globally. If somebody needs janitor work, elevator maintenance, we'll put 3 or 4 or 10 of our clients together. We'll put a bid out. And it could be a global bid from a global elevator maintenance company. We manage 2.2 billion square feet of space, and so we can drive pricing for our clients based on bidding that is global in its nature. And so, again, it's centralizing the resource and the need that you have around the strategy, which is how do I do this more efficiently and more economically than I'm already doing. Commonwealth of Virginia, this is a statewide master plan that I worked on really 5 years ago. We updated it a couple of years ago. It also includes, and by the way, I apologize for the formatting. The fonts are falling out of the setup that's on this computer, so we've got some drop D's and things like that, but it really does look good, I think, in your slides. The state came to us and they said we need to be more centrally organized in our leasing of space. We don't, all of the departments have leasing people, but we don't think that we're getting the best value for our money. And when we looked at the way their space was leased, we found, as a for instance, 10 different leases in the same office park done by different departments, different agencies. And I'm sure they got reasonably good deals at the time they did them. But if they aggregated all of that space into one statewide lease in that particular office park, they would have gotten more power and better terms for what they were trying to achieve, which was housing space for 10 agencies. And so our recommendations in the statewide master plan included not only the centralization of their real estate department, which they executed, but to work with a third-party provider to work with them on leasing, to help them go into the marketplace with the power of and the credit of the state of Virginia behind them, to identify opportunities for consolidation and co-location. A number of the agencies had the same constituents. They needed to be near bus routes. They needed to hit 3 offices to collect some of the benefits because they were unemployed, because perhaps they needed aid for their children, they had education problems, whatever those issues were. And so many of those constituents were going between offices that were spread across, maybe it was just 6 or 8 or 10 blocks, maybe it was a mile, but when you don't have a car, it was not only burdensome for them, but the state was also losing money because they were not consolidated and co-located. We identified about 20% savings just in square footage alone from consolidating and co-locating services, because if you think about all of the spaces that you have, every agency, every department will have a reception, they will have a Xerox room, they will have break rooms, they will have circulation space, they will have copy rooms, they will have conference rooms, and many of those facilities and rooms and spaces are really just a duplication. And so we identified over $60 million in savings for the state of Virginia from consolidating and co-locating, from working more strategically in the marketplace, from working off of a strategic master plan that brought together the agencies and looked at each location where they were leasing space. 3 years in, they had already achieved $33 million of that savings. Fourth year in, they're up to $40 million, and that's growing. So the power is really very strong when you start to look at things strategically in terms of your ability to save money. Refining the approach to continual improvement. This is another slide. I'm sorry, it's fallen out of format. But it essentially comes down to what are your goals and objectives, and how do you achieve those goals, and how do you measure? You have to have key performance indicators. You have to be able to measure what your success is, or you won't know that you've achieved success. Certainly, bottom-line costs are one source of identifying success, but you also have to make sure that your services to your constituency are improving and not being affected by your cutting costs and your real estate. So there are various ways that you measure and that you look at the performance, and you also have to evaluate the processes that you're using. The processes are very important. We set up processes for all of our clients, whether they're facilities management clients, transaction management clients, lease administration clients, and that process is vetted with the folks who are actually working with it. It's used by the people who we are serving. You are our client, and it is vetted. It is rewritten. It is tailored to the needs of our each one of our clients. So when we talk about process, it's not something that we come in and overlay, but it's a process that we work with you folks in developing. The state of North Carolina said, you know, our legislators have identified space all over the state that they think could be sold, excess facilities, owned properties. So they asked us not to look at the properties per se, but rather to develop a process that could be used by the departments to go through and identify which properties are being used to their highest and best use, which are not, and why not. Will it ever be something that we could reuse or should be reusing? Does it have asbestos? Is that the only reason we're not selling it? Maybe we have to spend a few dollars to remove some asbestos, and then the property will become highly marketable. So there was a process developed in training in working with the departments to help them identify properties that might be considered surplus. And this process has been implemented by the state of North Carolina. I worked with the state to help train those department heads, and that process is now being used to identify surplus properties in the state. You have to make strategic planning a top priority. What's the process? Well, I've heard and I've seen you already have a database of owned properties. Presumably you have a similar database of leased properties. And the data portion is really very important. Without the data, you don't know what you have. You really can't test. You know, when you talk about benchmarking, you can't test where you are. What's our expense? What's our spend? How are we doing things? So you need the data collection and the data points up front to serve as a baseline to get you from here to there. You look at how your properties measure up in the marketplace, and whether it's leased or owned, you know, what are our costs for owned properties? Should we be selling this and simply moving into leased property because we don't have the funds to maintain those properties? With the state of New Jersey, we found that they owned about 40% of the occupied office space that they were using for administrative purposes. And we made the recommendation that since at that time, this was going back a number of years, they did not have the resources to fund the maintenance of those properties. And at that time, the markets, office markets, were at historically low rates. We recommended that they lease in long-term space to protect against upside in the marketplace, and also to sell properties that quite frankly, were beyond their highest and best use and were too costly to maintain. In doing that, we identified $40 million worth of savings for the state of New Jersey. So it's critical that you look at your properties, whether they're leased or they're owned, in the context of the marketplace, as well as how you are just currently occupying that space, because real estate is something that is greatly impacted by markets, and you can take advantage of those opportunities if you understand where you are in that marketplace.
I would also make the point that real estate markets are not static. They change. There's variations. What went on in New Jersey in today's marketplace probably isn't as practical as it was 7 or 8 years ago when that strategy was put into place. So it's very important to understand what's going on in the current marketplace. Can you negotiate, as Mr. Chikanian mentioned earlier, can you negotiate lower leases at a certain period of time in the marketplace when there's excess property on the market, whether that's your property or someone else's of your leasing property? So the dynamics of the changing in marketplace is a very important component of real estate management.
The middle of this slide speaks to strategic alternatives, and you were just addressing that a little earlier with one of your primary locations. You have to be able to bring these things down to both qualitative and quantitative aspects. For Orange County, Florida, they had 500,000 square feet of both leased and owned space, and they wanted to know if it was more cost-effective to continue operating that way or if they should be building some new county facilities and merging all of the leases into the owned space. We did a 30-year analysis on the ownership of those properties against a 30-year holding on the leased and owned portfolio, and we identified which alternatives were the most advantageous to the county. Now, why did we do 30 years? Well, because typically government is in properties for a long time, and so you need to look at the long-term horizon. You need to look at, essentially, it's the return on investment. If you're investing in owned properties and comparing it to the rental market, you need to look at those long-term differences. This is an example of the master plan that we did for New Jersey. You can see that yellow line at the top shows rent inflation, and the red line shows the vacancy rates. At the time we were working with the state, it was the beginning of the blue shaded space there, and we have a forecasting group that forecasts rental rates. It was formerly called Turtle Wheaton Research, now called Econometric Advisors. They forecasted that the rents were going to go up dramatically in the New Jersey marketplace and that vacancies were going to drop. The state at the time could only do 5-year leases. We said, look, you're going to get caught at the peak of the rental increase. And if you do 10-year leases, you will be renewing in a lower market and avoiding the high rents. And so the legislature changed their leasing strategy. And that graph is exactly what happened in the state of New Jersey. And so, you know, our strategy for really thinking long-term with the state and having some analysis behind it saved them millions of dollars. You have to monetize assets, and the reason you do that in times like this is to create value. You take a hard look at your assets and you see, what are we using today, what do we really need, and how do we maybe hang on to some assets that we don't really want to sell, but you know, maybe somebody else can make better use of it, or maybe it's a way for us to fund some improvements over the near term because we're out of cash, and at the end of the term, we'll get the property back. So what monetization can do is to help you with your budgets today. It can help you when it's difficult to raise taxes in a very difficult environment economically. Can help you with, again, doing more with less and still, in some cases, holding on to the assets. You can sell. That's obvious. You can lease. And again, there are leasing strategies that, in some cases, make it better to lease than own if the properties you have require a lot of maintenance and it's a low point in the leasing market and you can lock in long-term rates. That's what we did in New Jersey. Public-private partnerships may allow you to ground lease some of your land and facilities to a developer who will improve them. Maybe you will occupy them. Maybe they will use them for some other purposes for 30 years, and then you get the property back at the end of it. So there are a number of strategies for monetization that could assist you doing, carrying out your services well at the same time, identifying and utilizing the value of your assets. We're working with the state of California right now on a $2 billion sale-leaseback strategy, and again, this is identifying a way to help the state raise money today and look at the long-term need for these assets and other assets that they have in their portfolio. Sometimes you don't know what you have, and you have to look at the best use of the property, or in real estate terms, the highest and best use. The state of Connecticut came to us, and they said we have a strategic piece of real estate. It happens to be between two casinos in Connecticut, and it was an old state hospital site. Well, it obviously has a higher and best use, and we assisted the state in identifying what those uses were related to the nearby casino uses and how those might function together, as well as getting this property off the tax rolls and creating revenue for state and local governments. The fifth trend that I wanted to talk about was shifting from silos to solutions, and all that's really talking about is an integrated strategy. Many organizations, and this is not just talking about government, it's talking about the private sector as well, they function in private and separate silos. Every group and organization, I think you heard today, that within Milwaukee County, many of the different departments have their own real estate functions, different folks running the properties. And if you work that way, you're really losing some of the muscle that you have relative to the contracts that are being signed, relative to the utilization of the workforce, relative to the repairs of the properties, even looking at the utilization. And so our approach to value creation is that we transform the organization first. We look at ways that, again, talking about centralizing the real estate function, the real estate organizations within your government entity, and leveraging tools that are in place that really can only be done or utilized from a centralized platform, like a lease administration tool or a facilities management work order tracking tool, or a tool that looks at various ways to monetize various assets. Which one is the best? Should we pick this strategy or that strategy? Sometimes you have to bring it down to the bottom line to really know. And then talking about optimizing your portfolio, evaluating the locations that you're in. Should you be doing more consolidating and co-locating of space? What's happening with the leases that are coming up for expiration in the next several years? How are we going to react to that? We're thinking about those strategies with some of our GSA clients today. They have long-term strategies that they're looking out 10 to 15 years because they have massive facilities and they need to identify, you know, which dominoes need to fall in place to get the rest to fall as we want them to. And then at the bottom line, you're talking about reducing costs. If you consolidate and co-locate, that is a great way. Every square foot that you can get rid of that you're not heating, cooling, and shoveling the snow in front of is a much bigger dollar saving than some of the things you could do around the edges. But obviously, looking at your energy management, looking at where you're buying your energy from, looking at how you're maintaining your facilities, those are all things that come together under a strategic plan. Ontario Realty Corp. is the realty arm of the province of Ontario. About 6 months ago, we took on 40 million square feet of their portfolio, and we are providing facilities management, asset management, project management, portfolio administration, and transaction management through an integrated service delivery, working with the province of Ontario and handling all of these different aspects in an integrated plan. And the interesting thing to note is that some of the corporations really started to do it about 10 to 15 years ago. Federal GSA got into this about 10 to 15 years ago. State and local government, maybe 5, 7, 8 years ago, and the trend is accelerating. And so, you know, this is something that we're very familiar with, and We'd love to talk with you a little bit more about how it's working. You have to work at your workplace solutions as well. People are working differently today. You have a number of people who aren't in the office all that much. They don't really need a desk. They need a place to sit down with their laptop computer. They work with meters. They work with computers out in the field. They are supervisors who are managing workforce in the field, who are doing maintenance work and so forth. And so when you look at the distributed workplace, it's talking about the hoteling of space, giving somebody just a small desk to sit down at, not a full workstation. And the numbers start to add up. Again, if you can get rid of 1 square foot of space, it really saves a great deal of money. Talking about working more collaboratively in the spaces that you have, getting folks work more efficiently. It means breaking down some of those high cube walls. People start to talk and people start to work differently. Productivity rises, and all of these trends are backed by studies. We do this for American Express. We've been doing it for 7 years. They call it the Blue Work Program. Again, it's really talking, well, you see the term there, growth without growth. And that's how they're handling, in part, the not adding space, even though the company is growing, and they're doing it sort of how they're looking at the space that they have, how people work in that space, and how they can leverage up the workplace strategies that are being used really globally. Talking about a programmatic approach to your energy management system. It's really folks on the ground with tools and technologies to measure how you're using your energy, how that energy is being bought, how that energy is being eaten up by the lighting fixtures that you're sitting under, and what you can do. What are the strategies for reducing those costs? And sometimes it's a matter of spending money to save some money. For the city of Seattle, we manage a million-foot tower in downtown Seattle, and we reduced our operating expenses with the first budget period. And again, it was looking at their lighting systems, looking at their energy usage, looking at recycling, looking at sustainability, how their work orders were handled, looking at invoicing in a different fashion. It's really a changing the way you work and look at your facilities. Sustainability throughout the life cycle. The life cycle of property is very important. I work in consulting every day, and so I'm up in that strategy box. But as you work through the life cycle of the property, whether it's leased or owned, talking about transaction management, owned obviously on the design and construction side, occupancy for both types of properties, and then disposition, whether you're ending a lease or selling a property, you have to have the exit strategy in place when you're going into a property decision, whether you're leasing it or owning it. You have to know really what the end game is 5 or 10 years out. Where do we really think we're going to be? How much space do we really need? And how are we going to use that property throughout that life cycle? Just a couple more examples in this area, and I won't read through these, but again, we're working with companies like IBM, Nokia, Siemens. We're reducing their energy footprint. It's looking long-term at the goals and objectives that they have for the reduction of energy in their space, and it's how they're using that space to get there. A key part of any strategic plan and any strategy is measuring what matters. And, we probably have 200 benchmarks in an Excel spreadsheet someplace that, you can measure everything that you think you want to measure and get right down to every detail. But there's probably 10 or 15 key measurements that you want to look at. Cost per square foot, cost per employee, the utilization of the space. And you want to be able to read the progress as you go along. And so we've identified various ways of pulling that information forward and reporting it back to our clients. And if, if you're not reading the right information on a routine basis, you really don't know where you are. If you're reading too much of the information on a routine basis, you'll get lost in the details. And so we find it's really important when you look at slide 39 that there's just lots of things you can look at that you start to break it down to more simplistic and integrated approaches in terms of the measuring the outcomes of the performance that you want, as opposed to every detail of every function and transaction that can be measured, because people will be spending too much time measuring and not enough time thinking about what the strategy is. Some examples, we work with Cleveland Clinic. It's integrating a strategic planning process with a transaction and administrative process to find various ways across the entire portfolio to leverage up and save money. And I think the other key, and it's the closing point 10, you don't have enough resources today to carry out your projects. We don't have resources within our company to do everything that our clients are asking us to do. So we are constantly partnering with engineers and architects and planners and various types of financial folks, and leveraging the expertise that they have to deliver services to our clients. And what we're finding is that our clients are understanding that they need to do the same, that they need to look outside of perhaps the resources that they have, and it really is a partnering approach. And it's not just third-party service providers, but it's also industry associations and looking at public-private partnerships as well, where you are part of that process. Here are some examples of things that we do that are kind of outside the box. We manage a 360,000 square foot critical data center for the state of Ohio. We've done this since the early 90s, including managing all of the upgrades and new construction that was needed to keep this facility running into the 21st century with state-of-the-art facilities. We do this for Baylor Healthcare on an integrated basis. Again, nearly 8 million square feet of space, from development projects to the monetization of assets to various ways to identifying ways to save them money in the operation of their properties. One of our longest clients in this area is Bank of America. This identifies savings of $200 million just within space disposition. We're now over $400 million in identified savings by working directly with them in every area of their portfolio to drive savings and to achieve really the best facilities, but with the bottom line in mind. And it's from facilities management to project management, transactions, mobile maintenance, techs in a truck, and so on. Leave you with a few closing thoughts. I won't read those, but it's really talking about issues of people have to think differently than they did in the past. We talked with another county about a month ago, and we were told very frankly, you know, we're very interested in this. We have to do things differently. We have no choice. And so with that, I'll just open it up to questions. Mike, if you want to close.
Well, Madam Chair, thank you very much, and committee members, thank you very much for the opportunity. We hope we've given you kind of an idea, strategic idea, of facilities and how that, I think it ties very well with the discussion that went on earlier, because that was much more specific. And there are opportunities in real estate to grasp this very complex area and to really manage it. And we think there's an opportunity in the county, as we have discussed numerous times.
Ms. Young.
Thank you.
This is on. Please take this in the context that I'm offering it. I guess I'm a little confused and would raise the question of how did we particularly get to this company coming here and giving us their advertisement as to what they can do, and as opposed to some other company? Or and I guess in terms of just disclosure, I personally would like to know that, and also sort of have a sense of what they understood their objective to be here.
As I understand it, C.B. Richard Ellis has talked to county, some of the administrative staff, as a company that does strategic planning and real estate. I made it very clear when Mr. Parker talked to me that any work this county does, we do RFPs. And clearly the company knows that. I have to say it's a much broader presentation than I had, I guess, imagined initially in terms of strategic planning for real estate. And let me ask the question. I mean, some of this really almost sounds like privatizing administration of facilities, really taking over the whole piece of trying to make the county energy efficient, maximizing our facilities, et cetera. It's more than just coming in and offering real estate services. And
well,
I
think
from there.
First of all, in terms of thinking that we were coming in and selling a service, we were asked to present strategies in the public and private sector that were being used in real estate, from strategic planning to whatever it might be. To the degree that we're showing you examples, we're showing you the direction and the trends of many folks in both the public and the private sector. In terms of privatizing, we are partners. We work with our public sector clients just as we do with our private sector clients. We typically don't come in and throw out all of the employees and take over facilities and so forth, but rather we work on a consultative basis. We work in partnership with you folks. We work on a strategic basis with you folks to identify opportunities, and it's not a black box approach. It's a collaborative approach, and if there's anything that anybody doesn't want to do, they simply say, we don't want to go in this direction for this reason. If there's anything that they want to know what the benefit is, we will show them the bottom line benefit. We will show them the qualitative benefits. And generally, all of that is developed with our clients in work sessions. It isn't, again, behind the doors, black box initiatives. It's everything's on the table. We have to do things differently. And so that's our approach. That is the approach of many of our competitors who are working with clients as well. It's just saying, we know you've got some problems today that are very difficult to solve, and there are people out there who are solving them in many different fashions, and that's what we hope to get across today in this presentation.
Ms. Young?
We also, if I might comment, wanted to give you real-world examples of strategic initiatives, and to do that in the best manner, those were initiatives that we've undertaken because we know those the best. So that's why we spoke to those things, whether they... And I apologize if it turned out to be somewhat of a sales. The feeling was that we worked on this very hard so that it would not feel that way, but apparently we didn't convey that.
Mr. Hankin?
I guess I'd like to maybe go back to my question from a long time ago. I thought what we were getting was the results of the consultant study that was referenced in this report from Mr. Hare, where the county spent $50,000 to do some initial planning.
I apologize if you thought that was not not this piece.
Okay, and that's fine, but I guess that's one of my questions is, if there is indeed strategic planning going on someplace in the county regarding space planning, then I would hope that this committee could hear about that, learn more about it, I don't personally feel like this committee should be doing the strategic planning. So, again, I think that's a good development, but I would want to be apprised of that so that then wherever that task force is going, you know, I would imagine could influence our decision making. So there's reference to a report in here that again that the county had commissioned with a $50,000 allocation. Is that something we can get? And
unfortunately, Mr. Tekarian, I mean Mr. Kreklo left. Mr. Tekarian left. Mr. Kreklo's here. I did this the other day, and it's going to trap me now. Can you address that question?
Yeah, Madam Chair, members of the committee, there was a study that was completed by the facilities management folks that looked at space utilization and standards, and that was the source of the information that was presented at the beginning of the meeting by Mr. Tekarian that looked at what space was currently available at the county, and then there's the development of space. That's an inventory. The landscape, the larger landscape spreadsheet, is simply an inventory of all of the assets that the county owns. And that was completed actually when I was initially starting with the county about 2 years ago. Following the completion of that asset inventory, the second step was to bring out a consulting firm that helped facilities management develop space standards. So, in other words, determining how many square feet per employee for different types of jobs were necessary and needed, and then comparing that to the amount of space that was available. And that was that analysis, I believe, has been presented to the Public Works and Transportation Committee several months ago.
But the slides that Mr. Tekarian had resulted from those studies.
Correct. And there is a much longer document, which I'm sure that could be made available to the committee, that gets into much more detail on those standards, as well as the resulting analysis that showed that based upon those standards, here is the amount of excess space that was available in the various county facilities. And I do think what Mr. Hinken is suggesting is a logical next step is then how do we reorganize county functions or move county staff around within existing facilities or potentially other facilities in a way that makes the most efficient utilization of space that we could achieve. Now that is not currently underway, nor is there actually at this point funding for that, but I think it's the logical next step.
Mr. Hinken.
I'll shut up after this. But let me be blunt, but as polite as I possibly can be. You know, I came to work for Milwaukee County in 1998, and at that point in time, we were talking about what are we going to do with the safety building. And so it's 12 years later, and we're still talking about what are we going to do with the safety building. And my interest, frankly, in being on this committee and why I think this committee is so important is that, you know, to me, these are the decisions that are going to drive everything else. And I understand how they're related to all the programmatic decisions. It was a very difficult juggling act, which comes first. Do you decide which services you want to do and then make your space planning as a result of that, or does your space planning drive the other? But my point is, I think that if we can somehow drive some decisions here, you know, I'll also bring up the example of the CCC. You know, it was closed a year and a half ago, and to my knowledge, it's sitting there. And I'm not faulting anybody. I've been here. I've worked here. I know how difficult it is because day to day you're putting out fires. But I think somehow or other, whether it be this committee or some other mechanism, there has to be a way to start making some of these decisions. Mm-hmm. So that's my general point.
Supervisor DeBruin, and then back to Ms. Young.
Thank you. I guess I had kind of an initial assumption about that other report was going to be part of what we looked at today too, and that's fine. And I hope we do get some of that. I guess the part of it of this presentation that I think is most relevant for us, at least right now, is the piece number three, the strategic real estate planning, making that a priority, and how this committee, it starts, it's actually page 16, where it does the three phases, and I think what I'm interested in is seeing the role of this committee in trying to make sure that Milwaukee County, not just individually within departments, which there has been some of that, and or some of the broader attempts, such as what Mr. Kreklo just talked about, where they did go out and try and do some data collection on exactly what facilities we have, but to make that more coordinated, and that this committee would recommend that it should be a priority or it shouldn't be, one or the other, because right now it's kind of in, we have a $1 billion octopus, and a lot of times one arm doesn't know what the other arm is doing, and sometimes even within a department, like a really large department, there's leases being, you know, I've seen departments come in and have, you know, at one point, like 16 different lease types within one division of a department. And so some of that, I look at this and I say, whether the county does it, or whether an outside group does it, or whomever, is the role of this group would be to say, look, strategic planning is very important in the space utilization and our space needs and our leases. And at least there's a format here that, you know, has some validity to it that we could suggest be used, whether it's internally with our own folks or outside or whatever. But I do think that if we don't as a committee at least take on that piece, then we're going to miss this opportunity to save quite a bit of money, because right now everything that we do, I mean, we still, even though this is 2010, we still have key function of county government that are so into individual staff members' brains that when they retire, it's gone. And so we have to look at how we really modernize Milwaukee County, and this is one of the areas that, frankly, I haven't had as much experience in and haven't known that end of the business end of this planning, and I suspect a lot of folks being government sector type folks haven't done as much in, and so I just would like to state that I think that this is an important area that's been underutilized and undeveloped and could be more developed, and that's how I view this, whether it's this group or another RFP group or whether it's our own people inside. I do think we might need, without trying to disparage any of our staff or anything, we might need at the very least some folks to come in and let us and help train us how to do this. Whether they do it or not, I do think we need to recommend as a committee that this is a piece we march forward in.
Ms. Young.
Just following up on that, I think I would echo both Mr. Hankins and Supervisor DeBruin's thoughts in terms of the fact that I think building utilization and space allocation is very important. I mean, because that's what we do. I mean, we do services, we do perform functions, so it's not like we need to work on what kind of cars to drive, whatever, we need to work on what kind of space. But entailed in that, I think, has to come some assumptions, and I would look to this committee to at least identify what those assumptions are or that they need to be defined before we go through it, just as this presentation assumes certain assumptions. They made certain statements that they used as the basis for why they made certain decisions. I think we need to, example, is it most important that we be green and be energy conscious? Is that our most important driving factor? Is it most important that we are cheap, that we are looking at the bottom line? Because I think you have to identify those variables before you can come up with a plan design or strategic approach, because those things define how you develop the strategy. And I don't think that we've done that. And I think that one of the things that this committee could do sooner than later is direct various departments to come back with just a very simple assessment of what they see as their primary focus of on space, you know, accessibility, green, cost, enough of it, too much of it, whatever it might be, and utilizing that, do a grid map in terms of, okay, who is on the same page? How do we interface with each other in these departments? But I think that that is important and needs to be done before we can come to anything relative to strategic plan. We have to identify what our assumptions are.
Mr. Parker, you indicated that there's an opportunity to perhaps do an RFP for just a single project. rather than just to do an overall facilities piece from the county? I mean, do you have an example of something like that, of what the strategy would be based on a single property? For example, the CCC, the old St. Anthony's Hospital across the street that was at one time being used to house Huber facilities, now pretty much stands vacant for the county.
Madam Chair, if I understand your question correctly, yes, we can do a pilot project, and we have done that for various public sector clients, and we would be happy to do that as long as we understand what the overall strategy of that is. I think those are very salient questions about, are we green, are we inexpensive, how do we use the space, and so on. If we understand some of those parameters around that, then to carve off a piece and do a study of that so you understand how we provide value to the county, certainly we could do. And we have done that in numerous cases in small pieces rather than try and take on everything at one time. But there is probably a piece that, whether it's this committee or some other committee or the county board, that says we want to provide the best space for our employees or the most efficient space for our customers or whatever that may be, and how do we do that? How does the CCC fit into that, those five parameters that we've established? And certainly then we can do that.
I mean, we have started with a few parameters with the strategic planning committee. Namely, one of them is how do we address the structural deficit in which we exist in this county. I mean, that's been a driving factor for strategic planning. And I've heard many folks come. We've had all the departments come and talk to us and identify issues in the departments. And I have heard speaker after speaker state that the county has made bad decisions in the past with regard to real estate. So we were here with, and I like Supervisor DeBruin's analogy of the the octopus. The octopus, which, you know, you can cut an arm off an octopus and it continues to function, but, you know, how well does it function after a while? that's the situation we're in, having made bad decisions, having purchased two hospital spaces for completely non-hospital-related services, and all of the problems that has led us to. So how does a firm like yours address strategic planning with problems like that, to try to get to some specifics?
Well, if we get very specific, let's take a specific building. What we'll do is analyze that building. We'll start and take a look at that building from a structural standpoint, from an operational standpoint. What are the costs in operating that? We heard that earlier, that the occupancy costs of certain buildings are so significant that it's hardly worth using that building. Then we look at the utilization and how is that space being used? So we have structural, will the thing stand up? We have operational, is it a place where that works and doesn't cost us up a lot of money? And then we have occupancy requirements for that building and how do people fit into that building and how do our customers interface in that building, whatever those services are. And the needs are different in each one of those buildings. And then we would go out and look at the competitive environment and say, okay, this is the building that we have. This is what it costs us to operate in this building. This may be what the capital expenditures are going to have to be over the next 5 years. Then we compare that with what else is in the community and what other facilities might be available to supply those services. And can we do that? And how do those compare? And that's specifically an analysis of that facility. In the facilities part, in the analysis of the structural part of that, there was a comment about asbestos before. And is there asbestos in an old hospital building that has been covered up, whether that's tile on the floor that's been covered over with something else? I mean, all of those issues that become part of an analysis of a facility. Then what we do, as Mr. Kamen mentioned before, we have enough data that we can go out and look nationally at like facilities and how does that compare to other facilities, like facilities for Health and Human Services or for whatever it may be, facilities management, a garage. How do we efficiently use that, and what other places in the United States have garage facilities that are the most efficient that we can find, and how do we benchmark against that?
Supervisor Brown.
Thank you. One of the other things that I found really interesting from your presentation is kind of the clear experience in dealing with public entities and trying to do strategic planning, which is, in my book, a nightmare, but worth always worth at least trying. It was fascinating for me to ask you some kind of couple questions about that. In county government, you have 4-year elected terms. And sometimes it's hard enough to get a decision, analyze the data, get a decision within that 4 years. And I'm wondering, as you've done the strategic planning process, or as you've seen other entities come in and do this for different political groups or, political bodies, that 3-phase of the planning, assuming it's done at that high of a professional level versus, well, this is up and understood, how long has that typically taken for the elected bodies to get their act together, to participate in that, and then to go through to get the due diligence done, and then the strategic alternatives, work with the folks, and then actually implement and adopt some sort of plan? Is there tended to be a typical time frame?
It really depends. Many of these projects, sometimes there's a time frame, we need something in 3 to 4 months, and when you start to get to some conclusions, particularly as they impact spending and savings, and it's very clear that there are opportunities to do things to save money, that starts to accelerate the process. Frankly, we've had some others where the conclusions were very clear, but politically the timing wasn't right to go ahead and I'm thinking in particular of a case, it was very clear that it was cheaper to build facilities and get out of leased facilities, and they would save money over the time frame of the analysis. But politically, the climate wasn't right for it. Another project for a headquarters for a school district has taken 2 years. We've gotten to the point where a developer has been selected, and we're maybe 2 months away, we think, from being able to say, to the board, it's time to vote, let's go. So it varies, but in many of the strategic planning exercises that we've worked on, usually within 3 to 4 months, it's very clear that the direction and order of magnitude of savings is starting to grow, and it accelerates. It just starts to move the process forward very rapidly.
And then on the idea of whether there's specific starting examples or models or whatever, I think one role that maybe this committee could look at is, assuming that we have some more discussion with the administration, and is maybe to look at some of the areas that maybe we should recommend to county government to start the strategic planning in, whether they do the whole enchilada or whether they do some specific ones. And, you know, I think there's a couple of city campuses one option. Another one, which we haven't mentioned so far, is we have some of the most valuable real estate in southeastern Wisconsin out of Milwaukee County ground. And we have segmented that over the years for multiple different purposes, but it's some of the most valuable real estate. We have some of the most amazing good deal leases out there, $1 for 100 years. We have all sorts of patchworks of competing uses and goals for that property, and that might be one that we say, boy, there needs to be a concerted effort by Milwaukee County to strategically plan. There's been some attempts, in my opinion, they really haven't gone where they need to go, and we need to have some coordinated plan there, but that's another. So maybe part of the role of this committee chooses to try and perhaps pick a few where we really think the county really needs to focus.
we'd be
or
happy.
Whether we look at this and say, wow, we are so missing in even our basic data, that's where we have a countywide data source or a countywide, you know, that there's some other key component that's missing. And obviously, some of those discussions will take, we're going to have to have more discussions with management, because, you know, Mr. Kerry, Mr. Prepko, and others.
We'd be happy to give you examples of other entities' strategic planning RFPs so you can see what the scope and the range of what people are asking for.
Ms. Young?
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to state, I think sometimes strategic planning is made more complicated than it needs to be. And I think sometimes we try to, or we feel that we need to analyze every nuance instead of just, you know, sort of looking at the, you know, big picture. And sometimes I think strategic planning and a strategic approach can be as simple as just codifying the process and defining, you know, what it should be. And then I'm looking at what we got from Mr. Hare today in terms of his perspective on strategic property management, and he has something very simple here. You know, have a formalized property management function in one area so that it would be centralized. It would provide overall knowledge and consideration of the availability and demand for space, allow for effective matching of spaces between departmental borders, standardize the space planning process, and establish a space utilization standard. I mean, this is, to me, when I look at this, like, why wouldn't we do this yesterday in terms of just putting together something that we can move forward with immediately? And one of the things that I'm hearing that we have a problem with is that we have many different departments who go in different directions. I mean, this brings it all in there. It just seems to me that that is something that if we had that in place, whatever it needs to take to get that in place, we would at least then have a common depository of the information. So right now, whereas we're going to every department to try to figure this out, if you had one centralized location, you would go to that location to find everything you need in terms of what we have in place and what we're looking to have in place.
Anyone else? Thank you very much for coming. I do think there's something to be said for both approaches. Mr. Harris really picks up known problems and strategically looks at it, which is definitely valuable. But I do think Supervisor Grun and others make a great point. I think County Grounds would be a great place to really get a outside strategic plan to look at use of that real estate. So I think we should, as we move forward with this plan, perhaps consider both. And I know, Mr. Haken, we do need to make some decisions. I get that. But I sometimes I think we keep missing the bigger picture.
Just the one other element I'd add on the County Grounds is I think it would be a good idea to cost out what the county is actually spending out there in terms of the Wauwatosa Fire Agreement. And we had testimony from Inspector Carr several weeks ago about $750,000 that the Sheriff's Department is spending. I think that information, getting that added into the equation.
And running a utility.
Yeah.
All of that. So it would be an interesting, it would be an interesting one to do.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, gentlemen. I don't want to keep holding you here. I do appreciate your coming and adding this piece for us. Two things I want to do before you go, and that is, first of all, get a date set. Mr. Hankin has the piece coming on the consultant's report for behavioral health. And, Mr. Hankin, why don't you explain where you are on that?
We are hoping, fingers crossed, that there will be a draft report by the end of July. The month of August would then be spent vetting that with the various stakeholders and steering committee and the public policy forum, and the report would be ready to be released very shortly after Labor Day. So that's the timetable we're on now, but we've been experiencing delays at various points. But I'm hopeful sometime in September. I cannot tell you for sure right after Labor Day, but at this point that certainly is what we're shooting for.
Previously, we had
scheduled the date of July 21st for a potential report. That is definitely not going to happen. And what, if this committee remembers, we are going to pretty much not meet during the entire month of July, and then potentially try to schedule something in August. And what we're going to try to do, with the help of Mr. Hare, Mr. Katie, and Mr. Cracklow and others, is to pull together a skeletal piece with probably alternatives for this committee then to weigh in on as to the direction, whether the committee wants to recommend an action or not recommend an action. Obviously, this is going to have to go to the full board. There are some major pieces in here, which facilities, of course, would be one. Behavioral health is another one. The whole issue of benefits and the employee benefits ratio is another one. And we've been putting together an outline as we've been going through this. We're going to take time now to go through that again strategically, come up with some major issues. And there will also be, as we were going through, for example, in the courts, we heard about this interplay between the court's budget and the sheriff's budget and probably looking at that strategically. So there will definitely be some issues that need to be identified to go to standing committees, but then to address it from a strategic standpoint. So there will also be that piece. So what we're trying to get to is a date later in August, perhaps, without having the behavioral health piece finished, but perhaps addressing the others, to then have the committee's input on the strategic planning framework that will ultimately then go forward to the, I think, through the finance committee first and then to the full board. So that's kind of the direction. I guess I'm asking later in August to pull out our calendars and to identify a date. And then possibly to get the piece from Mr. Hankin after Labor Day, but hopefully before the end of September, because if there are some things we want to try to identify for the budget, that we can still perhaps do that.
You still want Monday?
I'm open. I mean, Mondays has worked well, and if no one has an objection, I'll throw out Monday, August 23rd, perhaps, as the first date. Is that doable? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, why don't we at least save that date right now, 1:30, as an initial look at the framework for strategic planning, the initial draft of it, and for input. And it's something that, you know, we can continue to craft as this committee sees fit. And then, I don't know, Mr. Hankin, you said after Labor Day, if we identified the 6th? Nope, that is Labor Day, isn't it? Labor Day is late this year. 13th?
On the first meeting, would something come to this committee before that date?
Yes, hopefully.
A week before, 10 days, a few days? 4 hours before?
Can I promise a week?
A week. Okay.
That'll be our target. So it'll give us about a month and a half to try to pull it together. And to be fair, we've been doing an outline, and kind of Mr. Hare and Mr. Katie and others have already been, you know, giving some input on it. We'll continue to massage that and then get something out to the committee at least a week before that August date. And then if is August 13th, Mr. Hankin, is that going to be a possibility? I'm sorry, September 13th for your consultant?
Forward, sure.
That would be the behavioral health consultant. Any other questions or comments? If not, we're adjourned. Thank you, everyone. I know it's getting late, so appreciate it.